I guess as soon as they start running.
Might be too late.
What the?
Ryan glanced quickly upward into the tall trees. He saw Dean and Doc readying themselves to pick their way down again, Christy and Mildred at their heels.
Stay there! We might need to climb back in a hurry. Just get ready to shoot.
The gigantic boar was scraping at the ground with its hooves, like a bull about to launch itself into a pounding attack. Drool tinted with blood hung from his open jaws, his eyes shining like firestones. Ryan unslung the Stire from his shoulder.
Take him out first. You hear that, Mildred?
What?
Take out the big one first. Only a brain shot will do the job.
Piece of cake.
Out of the corner of his eye, Ryan could see that the woman was standing in the main V of the oak, between the two large forked branches, steadying herself while she drew a bead with a checked target pistol.
Take him out early. Pack of bastards like that'll come fast and hard.
Trader had his rifle at his shoulder, squinting along the barrel. Ryan wasn't about to argue with his old war chief over that one. It seemed as if the giant boar were stirring up his herd, turning his massive head from side to side, snuffling and raging at them. Suddenly, the leader stood stock still, little fat-buried eyes turning away from the huddled group of humans toward the east, as though it were listening to a secret message.
Can hear horses.
Really, Jack?
Pigs are listening to something. Got them worried.
Dozen of them all.
Jack narrowed his eyes, concentrating on the distant sound.
Coming this way.
I can hear horses.
Jack already heard it. Send Dean high up. See if he can make anything.
Got it, Dad!
Then Ryan heard the noise himself. It was coming from where they believed the Vill lay, which could mean they were simply going to exchange one kind of menace for another. The pigs were ready to run, though the lead boar was reluctant to let their prey go. It took a few hesitant, menacing steps toward the oak tree, and everyone raised their guns. Then discretion overruled the creature's lust for blood, and it turned ponderously about and trotted off into the deep shadows of the forest, followed by the rest of the herd, vanishing within seconds.
We could hide in the trees until we see what's coming.
Trader banged the butt of the Armalite angrily in the dirt.
Come on, John Dix. All those years you rode with me and you learned nothing?
The armorer pushed back his fedora.
Yeah, I guess that's right. Once we get up there and they spot us, we're dead meat. Nowhere to run.
Right.
Trader patted JB on the shoulder.
Leave the women, Doc, and the kid up there. They can cover us if we need it. Right, Ryan?
Yeah, Trader. Makes sense. Christy, all of you stay up there and cover us.
Sure, Ryan. Can see dust. Quarter mile or so. 12 riders. No, 14 mounted men.
Coming along this trail?
Straight toward us, Dad.
The horsemen wore uniforms of dark green, drab and patched. Their animals were a motley mix of elderly mares and geldings, with a couple of rangy mules. The men were armed with nothing more menacing than crossbows, though the leader had a long-barreled musket across his shoulder. When the leader saw the 5 men standing in a loose circle beneath the big live oak, he held up his hand and halted his party. Ryan's keen eye noticed immediately that their discipline was casual to the point of sloppiness. He held up his own hand to greet the men.
You saved us from some muty pigs. We thank you for that.
Herd with a giant boar? You got a broken tusk?
Yeah.
The man pursed his lips.
Then you were lucky, stranger. Not many folks survive a meeting with the general and his posse. I've been in these woods for longer than anyone knows. Some of the brushwood folks say he can't be killed. Certainly taken a toll of life in the last years.
Name's Ryan Carter. These are some of my friends.
Only some of them?
The sec man was quick. He stood in the stirrups and stared around at the trees.
So where's the rest of them?
They're close by. Heard there was a Vill not far off.
You heard right.
Baron Wayman?
The sharp, foxy face was becoming suspicious.
What you been hearing, Outlander?
Nothing.
Which way do you come in?
North, along the coast.
Through the yellow hot pools? I can still smell it on you. You see any brushwood people on your way inland?
Just the pigs.
Not much difference between the pigs and the brushwooders. Both of them vicious. Both smell like shit. Looking for food and shelter for a night or two?
Could be.
The man stared at them in silence for several long seconds.
Something about you I can't. I never saw a group of Outlanders as well-weaponed as you are. Nor a group who looked more like they knew how to use the blasters.
Is that against the law? If it is, then you best tell us right here and now.
Jesus, traitor.
The man held up a protesting hand.
Whoa, back, old-timer. Keep the hammer lifted. I'm not a stoop. I know our bows wouldn't last a dozen heartbeats against what you're carrying. Though I could bet one or two of you wouldn't live to see another sunset if it came down to it.
You got a name, sick man?
Sure. Rainey. Bill Rainey.
Rainey leaned forward in the saddle, his hands clasped together.
You sure you haven't seen the brushwood dogs? Man called Ditch Down with a white lightning burn in his hair. Schnickel? Bald man by the name of Straub.
Told you he hadn't seen anyone.
Sure. We heard a whisper here and there, carried on the wind, you might say, that this Straub and Schnickel and the rest are planning to try and topple the Baron from his vill. We wouldn't much go with that.
Would they succeed?
Rainey's face hardened, and he straightened.
There's your business, and there's our business, Carter. You just crossed over the line between them.
Sorry. Just curious.
Sure. But you know what curiosity did to the cat. How many of you are there? And where are they?
Ryan glanced at Trader and JB, both of whom nodded slightly. He saw that the sec man hadn't missed the exchange.
Up the tree? There's nine of us in all. You're Phil able to cater for that many?
Baron Wayman always says to welcome outlanders, unless we figure they might present a threat to him and the Vill.
Then what?
Rainey grinned.
You got the look of a man who knows the answer to that question before he asks it.
He waved a hand to drive away a cloud of small gnats from near his face.
Time's passing. We have to keep on patrol.
Looking for the brushwooders?
For trouble. Any size and shape.
One by one, Christy and the others climbed down from the lower branches of the leafy tree. The appearance of the women attracted the predictable, leering interest from the mounted sec-men, until Rainey turned and hissed something under his breath that wiped away the smiles and gestures.
To be out of our sylvan retreat. I was feeling too akin to our more simian ancestors.
Can it, Doc?
But it was Dean who got the most response when he dropped to the ground.
What are you doing here, Jamie? Your father will skin us if he...
Rainey stopped as the boy spun to face him.
You aren't... Be damned! Now I see the darker hair in the eyes. But there is one hell of a resemblance between that boy and the Baron's son, Jamie. You're Carter's son?
Dean nodded, blushing at finding himself the sudden center of attention.
Not many lads of his age in this part of the country. If Baron Wayman agrees, you could meet Jamie. I know he gets a mite lonely. What's your name?
Dean? Dean Carter.
Rainey smiled approvingly.
Could be that your son, Outlander Carter, might be the best Vill pass you could want to give you a fine welcome. Now I'll ride back and warn them of strangers. The rest of my boys can finish the patrol. You nine can walk a couple of miles due east. Follow this trail. You can't miss the Vill. You'll be expected.
Rainey set spurs to his horse and rode off at a fast trot. The sec patrol, without another glance at the outlanders, moved westward in a ragged line. Ryan looked around at his friends.
So far, so good.
Rad count's eased up into the yellow again. Still nothing too much for us to worry about, but it looks like there might have been some hot spots around here in the long winters.
The companions were in sight of the Vill, having just breasted a rise in the Snakeback Trail. They spotted the drifting gray smoke from among the trees, finally seeing the building itself.
It resembles a Victorian boarding school. Look at those Gothic chimneys and the proliferation of gables. By the three Kennedys, but I swear that it's the most elegant Vill that I have yet seen.
The house was built from gray stone, weathered over the years, stained with creepers and lichen on the second and third floors. The mullioned windows with leaded lights contributed to the impression of age and style.
Handsome. If it was privately owned, he must have been a fat cat.
Fat cat? What's that mean?
Jack Rich.
Oh, like a gold rat. I get it.
We gonna visit this Baron, or do we stay here and chatter the day away?
We go visit the Baron.
Ryan checked out the defenses of the Vill as they trudged wearily toward the main gates. It had been one of his special tasks when he rode with the trader. Most of the Warwag's crews, when entering a strange Vill or a frontier pest hole, would appear uninterested and would wave and shout to the inhabitants, greeting Sekhmen in the same way, making it appear like they didn't care about the way a place looked. But Ryan, and sometimes JB, would be hidden away, using the ob slits, carefully taking note of every detail of the defenses and the